The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we ask that you provide us today with open hearts and minds to your word and the peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. So I've got a quiz for you. You thought you were out of school. True or false question and as what they are, and I will ask you to raise your hands if you think they're true or if you think they're false. So the very first one. Police were called to a junior high football game this week. If you think it's true, raise your hands. Okay, got a few out there. How many of you think it's false? Guess everybody else. Okay, nobody raised their hands. It is true. Unfortunately, there are pending assault charges against a junior high football player from Lavernia for beating up on the field during a punt return in the middle of the game, standing there over him and fisting him consistently 5 or 6 times in the middle of the field from a guy from Beeville Jones. Okay, next question. There was a 5.0 earthquake southeast of Poth 2 weeks ago. Do you think that's true? Raise your hand. A couple, okay. All right, that was kind of a trick question. There was an earthquake southeast of Poth about 2 weeks ago, but it wasn't a 5.0, it was a 3.0. Okay, last one. A pastor convinced his entire congregation to sell everything they own because he knew the day and date that the world would end. Yes, sir. Who thinks that's true? Got a few out there who think that's true, yeah. Matter of fact, that is very true. And, of course, they showed up, had sold everything they owned, their houses, cars, everything, and, of course, nothing happened. And that's happened not just once, but 3 times. What is the truth? It's getting harder to tell these days, isn't it? Oh, I tell you, it really is. I mean, I'd like to give you an idea of kind of what that's like today. It's something that we've always wanted to do. Man's always wanted to seek the truth. They've gone on pilgrimages. Famous people have done it. Regular people have done it. We always are seeking that truth that makes life worth it and meaningful. But these days there is so much out there to do and so much out there to look at. Now, before I do this next part, I want to make a point that I'm not trashing the things I'm going to be talking about, but I'm going to try to talk to you in them in the sense of what we have in our gospel lesson. The truth shall set you free. I want to show the differences between the truths that are out there and the truth that this is talking about in the gospel lesson. For example, I'm going to pick 2 that have very popular movements right now. And again, the reason I say this is I'm going to talk about yoga and meditation. Now, yoga has nothing wrong with it. Matter of fact, I do several exercises that you would consider be yoga. It's really good. But the main premise behind it is to control your breathing so that you find peace and truth, your center. Keep that in mind. You find your center, okay? All right? Meditations, the meditation type, Hindu Buddhism also have that type of premise behind it, that you control it, that you can make things happen, that you find that peace or you find the Buddha inside yourself. Internet. There's fun. Again, not all bad. You can find some great recipes out there. You can find, if you broke a pipe, you can probably find a fix on there somewhere, how to get it to come loose and all that things. All those wonderful things there. But every once in a while, you'll get this thing, oh, 1,000-year-old cure for such and such is now available to you. And you click on it, and what is it? It's an ad. Or, I found this several times, famous person has died. I go look on the news, not a single word about the person that's died. Later on, you find out it's a hoax. The truth. How do we find the truth? Where do we find the truth? Influencers are a big thing. They have some good stuff, yes. But again, they're reliant on followers. That's how they make their money. That's how they make their standing. You have to have a follower. How often is that truth for somebody but not for you? Or how often is that thing that they use something you can't use or don't want to use? And yet they promote it as, oh, that's wonderful. There's lots of things out there wanting to find the truth, wanting to provide the truth for you. How do you tell the difference? Like I said, yoga's not all bad. The meditation part, I think, is very good. Matter of fact, if you look at Psalm 46 today in our lessons, verse 10 is, I think, one of the most overlooked verses in the Bible. Be still and know that I am God. Isn't that meditation? So it's not all bad. But the question is, there's the distinction between the yoga center and our center and the truth that shall make you free. You find your center. Ah, I find it. Whereas this Bible verse tells us, be still and know that I am God. I am the center. Pastor last week mentioned part-time Christians. I sometimes wonder if we have a lot of that going around, and maybe we're bearing the brunt of that failure, maybe even, of what Martin Luther wanted in Reformation. Because as you look around, you see a lot of hate and anger in the world. And I think it's because we've lost the truth. I see people on road rage over a car length spot want to harm somebody and personally cause them pain. I think it's kind of interesting that they'll do that because they probably are in such a hurry and they think you're going too slow and taking up their spot. But they'll take time to go back and hurt you. Aren't they just defeating their purpose? And if you disagree with somebody these days, oh my heavens, wonder how many names you get called. Or how much they will demean you. Or will they even try to harm you? They'll call you idiot. They'll call you dumb. They'll call you incompetent. And again, I go back to the scriptures and I wonder if we've lost the truth. Because the scriptures say, how many times should you forgive somebody? 70 times 7. You're supposed to turn the other cheek. You're supposed to give them your coat. And one of the great edicts of the Bible is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second is just like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Have we lost the truth? Have we raised part-time Christians? What's the danger in that? Well, here's a story. So the devil's standing up on the stage before his graduating class, and he asks the question, what is our most effective means in recruiting to our way? A hand shoots up immediately. He says, yes. He says, teach them there is no God. Well, yes, that's a very, very good way, but it's only the third way, because as people look around and they see the goodness in the world and they see the beauty in creation, eventually they figure there's got to be something but higher authority. So another hand shoots up. It says, teach them there is no hell. That's a good one as well, because we can put lots of evil in the world, but eventually as the evil builds up, they look for another source, and all of a sudden they realize that there is another source, and we are the source of all the fear and evil. Finally, a little meek hand shoots up, and he says, yes. And he says, I've got it. We'll teach them that they can have their faith but we'll teach them it's not that important. Ah, he says, you, sir, get an A, because that's the most effective way. Moderation and procrastination works almost all the time. We allow them to have their faith, but there is no fire in the soul and the heart for it. And that allows us to work even within them who say they have faith. Have we just described the world a little bit? And yet, here we have this, the truth shall make you free. Martin Luther put up 95 theses. We celebrate this day. He didn't want just one day. He wanted this to be lived throughout the year and throughout the church. Yes, he was against the indulgences, selling of the indulgences. But the other things that he was very, very important are is what we call in Latin, sola gratia, sola scriptura. Only grace, only scripture. He wrote his small catechism and his large catechism so parents and families could join together and every day have in their hand the scriptures and the basics of faith. And he wanted everybody to continue to study them. He made it so that people could discuss, debate, and enjoy the scriptures. That was the other part of the Reformation. That the church and the people be built in the scripture, the truth that really sets you free, not only in this life, but in the life to come. That's what his Reformation was about. Are we living as Reformation people? Are we in the church? Are we in the Sunday school? Are we in Bible study? Are we in our homes promoting the scriptures? That's what we did this morning with our giving of the Bibles. Are we in that truth that really sets us free? The truth that really makes sense. The truth of the Holy Spirit. Are we living as Reformation people? Do we have teachers in the Sunday school when the children come so we can teach them not only what's in not only the words themselves, but what those words mean, what that word means to the truth in their life? Do we have full Bible studies discussing, like Luther said, discussing, debating, and going over the scriptures and learning anew? Because I've always found that every time I go into a Bible verse or a parable or something, and I look at it and I go, yeah. Well, wait a minute, there's something I haven't seen before. Or there's a new thought I haven't had about that before. Are we doing that as Reformation people? Because all of that other stuff, that ugly stuff I mentioned, has to change somehow. I think Luther and Jesus would like us to be the people to do that, to at least begin that change in the world, to stop talking bad about people, stop hating people, start loving people and showing the truth that really sets us free. I'd like to give you some of the quotes that Martin Luther gave about Scripture, because they're really interesting. Here's one. Nothing helps more powerfully against the devil, the world, the flesh, and all evil thoughts than occupying oneself with God's Word, having conversations about it, and contemplating it. Another one. Therefore, whenever anyone is assailed by temptation or any sort whatsoever, the very best that he can do in that case is either to read something in the Holy Scriptures or think about the Word of God and how it applies to his heart. I like the last one. The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It lays hold of me. I hope that last one holds to us as Reformation people. And that is our prayer, that we can be the lights in the world, the truth in the world. Finally, I'd like to leave you. We had a youth group at my home in Trinity where we grew up, and we sang. One of the musicals we sang was Celebrate Life. I'd like to leave you with the words to the song, The Truth Shall Make You Free, because I always remember it when I get this Bible verse. And listen to the words and what Jesus and the truth can do, the beauty in it. He's the wind I soar on. He's the sun I sing in. He's the mountain I climb to when I want to reach a new high. Jesus, my Lord, of all the things he gave to me, the best is truth shall set you free. I hope that truth speaks in your heart and sets us free to be the people of God and to be the Reformation Church every single day rather than just on one day that Martin Luther wanted as well. Amen.